Passing the torch. So we're going to focus on. If you've got your Bibles out, go ahead and get them out and turn to 2 Timothy. If you've got a handout with you from this morning, inside the handout is an insert that would give you opportunity to study along with us and give you an option for taking notes as we think together about this great topic of passing the torch. You know, is 2 Timothy is such a powerful book of encouragement, and it's made a huge imprint on me as a young leader. I remember reading the book several times, even as we started Capital Vision Christian Church, was called to this area to say, gather some folks and start worshiping God and leading people to Christ. I remember reading the book of 2 Timothy and the imprint that it had, because it's a pastor and leader, Apostle Paul, teaching a young pastor, Timothy, how to lead people in the church. Timothy was the pastor of the church at Ephesus. You know, we have the book in the Bible called the Ephesian letter. Ephesus was the church and the name of the place where he pastored. And he was in the midst of a lot of problems, a lot of challenges, a lot of issues that were going on. And so Paul is constantly giving him encouragement. And Paul is at the end of his life. In fact, if you want to know the last book that's written in the Bible of Paul's writings, of all the writings that the Apostle Paul writes, this one is the last. He's actually in prison. He's not in like house arrest like he is when he writes Philippians. We call them the prison epistles, but he's actually not in jail when he writes those. He's actually kind of next to a Roman guard, and he has a lot of privileges, he says. He can come and go, and there's kind of a house arrest kind of feel to it. This one is different. He's, as it were, in a dungeon. He's in more like what we would consider a cave in the ground, where they have a grate over it, and they pour his food in and take his sewage out. I mean, that's the place where he's at when he writes this. He's already got a sentence against him. Nero has already convicted him, and he already knows he's going to be executed. In fact, at the end of the book, he talks about that, how he knows the time is short. In fact, he says, come quickly. The assumption is there because I don't have much time. So you got to think about, what would you say if this was your last day on earth? What would you say to the guys, the people, the folks that meant the most to you if you knew your time was extremely short? That's the kind of letter this is. That's the kind of letter we've got in 2 Timothy. Several people in my life have found out, in one case, about a second diagnosis of cancer, and he knew he had 2 weeks tops. It was like, what do you say to your kids and even your grand? So he videotaped for each of his kids and for his 2 grandkids a message. Whew. What do you say? What do you want to share? Because that's the idea of passing your feelings, passing your heart, passing what matters, what you really care about, to the next generation. That's what this book's about. I mean, as we get into it, we're only going to deal with 5 verses today, the first 5 verses of 2 Timothy, as he kind of introduces the story. But we're going to see right at the start the passing the torch theme. You know, and that's the theme for our church. That's the theme for Capital Vision. This whole year has been preparing to pass the torch, preparing ourselves so that our children's ministry, our youth ministry, pew, is what God wants it to be. Here's what he's challenging us to. That's where his call is for us. See, Nero had become emperor of Rome. You guys know about Nero? I mean, if you think about Christians being thrown to the lions, that's the era that we're in. Nero had actually intentionally burned down a part of the city of Rome. And as a scapegoat, historians say he needed to blame somebody because it kind of got out of control. So he blamed the Christians. So everybody in their whole culture was against the Christians, this sect, this cult, this group, loved some guy named Jesus, you know. And so the persecution was heating up tremendously. Unlike the other emperors, this was the worst it had ever been. So thinking about that, why don't we, do you mind if, just before as we read it, would you just stand with me as we read God's word together? Second Timothy 1, 1 through 5. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Let's bow in prayer. Gracious Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for encouraging us through really a preview, an introspection into Paul's relationship and writing to a young preacher named Timothy. Lord, would you enliven these words for us as we strive today in 2016 to be those that would likewise pass the torch of the gospel on to the next generation. We ask for your lead. We ask for your direction. We ask that you would communicate with us, Lord, through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated if you would. You know, the Olympics always have the torch idea, and they begin the Olympics with the lighting of the torch. And throughout the season before, there's this relay where the torch passes through country and country by country and just brings people together as that torch is passed. And I'd like to think about that idea today as we get the opportunity to hand the torch to the next. And what is that? What is it? And a couple of things that Paul mentions that I think are worthy of our note today. First of all, he always starts his letters out this way, to talk about your identity. And if there's ever a time in our world where identity was needed, especially with our teens, especially with our young people who are told on a regular basis that they are mere biological accidents, that happen to just be by chance they've arrived on this planet. Not true. They are created in the image of God. There's an identity that we need to pass along. Now, the Apostle Paul is identifying himself, and he says, I, an apostle. I, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. He's finding his identity in his Creator and the Lord. You know, if we could help our young people with their identity, it's not about what chance has happened, not random things. It's about God creating them on purpose. I want to ask you, how many kids in your life are looking to you and you can declare into their life, you've got a reason for existence? You're not close enough to kids to do that? I'm encouraging you today, get close enough. The baton, the torch has to be handed off hand to hand. Don't sling it and hope someone catches it. That's what I sense our churches do. Oh, yeah, someone's dealing with the kids. I hope they get their, you know, understanding of God. No, he's calling, I believe, every person in the body of Christ to have the sense of heart that Jesus had toward little ones. Yeah. What if we passed on the torch of identity, of Christ-centered identity to our kids? I, the Apostle Paul, Apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ, an apostle of Christ Jesus, I thank God whom I serve. I want to think about two things. One, Apostle Paul, you know, I always think about what a great guy that he was in this elite group where we have revelation from God in the New Testament at his pen. We got Peter and John and Paul and Matthew, apostles that wrote the New Testament. Apostle means one sent with a mission. I think there's a blank there to fill in. One sent with a mission. We would use the word missionary as an equated term for apostle. Apostle and missionary basically mean the same thing. You are sent with a commission, sent on a mission with a commission, so you have to use submission to that. You follow that? Now, I want to say this morning, every one of us are called as little a apostles. We're not one of the 12 or the 12 plus Paul, but we are called, we are commissioned, we are sent with a mission. And what is that mission? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That is our mission. I don't know if you want to do this, but just look at your finger a minute and say, I'm pointing at an apostle. Little a. Don't think of some elite group out there that has nothing to do with you. You are called as much as anybody on the planet to share his love. Do you find, that's what we got to ask first, do you find your identity, as Paul did, in your relationship with Christ and in his purpose for your life? What's your purpose? I know people. They tell me, well, I'm just hanging out till I go to heaven. What? Here's a phrase I like. A preacher says, if you're not dead, you're not done. Amen. And that goes for your mission. If you're not dead, you're not done. Who am I talking to here today? Repeat that with me. If you're not dead, you're not done. God has you on this planet for a reason. Look for it. Sense it. And I bet it's going to be in how you pass the torch to the next generation. What would he do? We think about the short time span Jesus lived on earth, 33 and a third years. And really his ministry was the last 3 years, 3.5 years of that. What did he accomplish in such a short period of time? Most of you in the room can envision yourself being here 3.5 years from now. What are you going to do in that short amount of time? You know, if you're not dead, you're not done. It could be somebody that Christ is wanting you to lead to him. It's like Rick Warren's dad laying in his hospital bed saying, send me some more people to talk to me in my room. And Rick's like, why? Why send them to your room? He says, I just want to get one more. I just want to talk to one more about God. I want to get one more person to understand the love of Christ for their life. And so over time, I think it was 56 people were led to Christ at the hospital bed of a dying man. It's like, whoa. What if we approached our world with that kind of intensity and that kind of identity? Peter, who was also going through this same Nero persecution, the same persecution by Nero, he was writing to the Christians that he had led to Christ, and he said, in the midst of this, but you, loving brothers and sisters, your identity is right here. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Oh, if we could get that across. And in our world today, people need to hear that constantly. You are God's possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Pass on the huge identity that God's given us in him. Pass on the gospel. Second thing, I mean, he focuses in on the promise of God. I'm an apostle, keeping the promise of life that is in Christ. Paul viewed everything through the lens of the gospel. He wanted everyone to know what the gospel was and how that could affect their life. This last week, I was spending a time at a restaurant with a couple, and we ended up shutting down the place. You know, the waiter was like, are you guys ever going to get out of here? Because I was just sharing with them, doing some pre-marriage counseling, and the gal was like, she didn't even understand the gospel. And she just kept asking questions and wondering, why did Jesus die? What was this thing on the cross all about? And the more I talked, the more she wanted, and the more she wanted, the more I talked. You know how that goes. Because we don't pass on. Don't assume that people in our culture, well, of course they understand the gospel. The cross is everywhere on every church. People don't know. Why did Jesus die? What was he doing there paying for our sin? And how do I apply that to my life? How do I get that to be not just Jesus died for the world, to Jesus died for me? See, that's what we need to help every young person come to an understanding and pass on the gospel. Never miss an opportunity to declare the goodness of God. He says here, keeping the promise of life. And we're not just talking about quantity of life. I mean, we often think about that. Well, I'm going to live forever in heaven. Good, good. Eternal life is good. The quantity. But he's called you to more than just a quantity of life. He's called you to a quality. He says, I want you to experience this eternal life now. You see, the gospel isn't just about getting fire insurance. Well, so when I die, I get to go to heaven. Woohoo! I'll live like I want now. No. He's called you to a life today with him, in his presence, with his leadership, in his glory. He doesn't want to leave you just a thought of down the road in the sweet by and by. He wants to talk to you about your life right now. You see, here's the Apostle Paul in the middle of a dungeon talking about what really matters. You know, you can be in a palace and be as miserable as you can be. In fact, you know this, I'm sure. The higher the income, the higher the suicide rate. What's up with that? Despondency, discouragement, distress. If you see your life, it doesn't matter. Wherever you're at in the scale, every person needs to see and sense God's love for them. Let's go to the third one. Pass on our heart, our affection. Now he talks about three things here. He says, I thank God whom I serve and my ancestors did with a clear conscience as I remember you in my prayers. I mean, just hear his heart. Look at that first word after Timothy, my dear son. One version, I think you have it, is my beloved son. I mean, he has this word of tenderness. And I don't know about you, it's hard, especially for men, to share with other men their hearts. But, oh, we got to do it. You might feel uncomfortable sharing with a young boy, a lad, that you care about them, but we got to do it. Using words like dear and beloved, even using terms of endearment, even nicknames, to let them know our hearts are with them. We care about them. Recalling with affection, recalling your tears as I long to see you that I may be filled. Are you hearing the emotion in that? You know, don't just, in fact, he says to the Philippians, let's read that one. He says, I share my heart as well. Philippians 1:7, it's right for me to feel this way about you since I have you in my heart. Catch that? Whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with what? The affection of Christ Jesus. Oh, brothers and sisters, if we can get past the formalities to ask the question, how am I conveying the heart of Jesus Christ to the next generation? Do your kids, do your grandkids, do kids in our presence, do the neighbor kids, does everyone in your world know that the affection of Jesus Christ is coming through you? Now, the world has said, don't get close, don't share your heart, be closed and unavailable. That's the world's way. The world does not have the truth. God's truth is the opposite. as the church, we step into that affection and say, kids, you need to know you're loved by the Father and by us. See, kids don't care how much you know until what? They know how much you care. And you know how kids spell love? T-I-M-E. So I've got to ask you the question. How much time do you spend loving kids? Well, I love my grandkids. Okay, I'm going to take it one step further. Kids that aren't related to you. Kids that aren't related to you. Some of you might be going, I don't have any other time. My kids are having lots of kids. But I want to encourage you. T-I-M-E. What are you doing to love kids with the affection of Jesus Christ? That was God's greatest gift to us, was to give us the presence of His Son and the time of His Son here on earth. What if we give time as our gift? Who do you know that you're letting in to your life? I'll just mention these real quick. Grace, undeserved kindness. Jot that down. I think it's the phrase. How are you doing? Better than I deserve. Aren't we all? You know, grace is getting more than we deserve. God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Mercy. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. You see the twin concepts there? Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. We need grace and we need mercy, right? They're twins. They go together. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, here's that word, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Third one, focus of the gospel is peace. In the Old Testament, it's called shalom. And it doesn't just mean the absence of war, right? It means an abiding presence of God and His leadership in life. That's shalom. In the New Testament, it's eirene. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to focus in for a minute on our relationships. Switch to that if you would. This has to do with living in community. Do you sense when Paul's writing this letter to Timothy that it's a relational, communal opportunity that he's wanting to share and to pass on? In fact, that's why he says, come, I want to see you. Come quickly. And he notes some relationships in here that I want to focus on, especially when we talk about passing on the torch. This has to do with relationships with one another. You see, God wants us to share our lives together. Like he said in Philippians, he said, I don't want to just share the gospel with you. I want to share the gospel and my life with you because they go so closely together. First thing he mentions is people. I long to see you. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded lives in you also. Notice he says up at the top, as my what? Ancestors did. You are in this room worshiping God today because somebody invited you. Somebody brought the torch to you. I don't know who it was. I don't know who brought you today or even who has shared Christ and His heart with you. But I want to encourage you. Thank God for them. In the Apostle Paul's life, he had a couple of guys. He had many because he was on a dead set race against Christ. He was persecuting the church. He was dragging Christians to the dungeon and even to death. He had letters to convict and to cause death. And God, through a miraculous vision, knocked him off his horse, blinded his eyes, on his way to Damascus. And God sent this guy, Ananias, to him. And you can imagine, God brings this message to Ananias and says, hey, Ananias, I want you to go share the gospel with this guy named Saul. We know him as Paul. And Ananias says, no, Lord. I mean, can you ever put those two words together, no and Lord? They don't really go together. But he said, no, Lord, I know this guy. He's got a reputation. He's killing my brothers and sisters. I can't go talk to him. God says, no, you need to go. He says, I'll show him how much he's going to suffer for my name. So Ananias obeys. Ananias obeys. He takes the torch. He goes into Saul's room, and probably with fear and trepidation, probably shaking like a leaf, he shares the love of Jesus. All Saul had was this vision. He said, why are you persecuting me? He's gone, what do you mean persecuting you? Who are you? And he says, I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting. That's all he knew. But Ananias, he got to share Jesus. It's like that story that Chuck told up here about Dr. Kimball, Mr. Kimball, the shoe salesman that taught the Sunday school class that eventually, you know, led to millions knowing the name of Jesus. Ananias shared with Paul the gospel. Finally laying in bed, he says, and now why do you delay? He says, get up out of that bed, go get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And Saul got out of bed, got baptized, got his sight back. It says the scales fell off his eyes. He was healed of this blindness and became the apostle. They didn't spend a lot of time together. And that's often the way it is. You don't know the impact of even small encounters with those who need to have the torch brought to them. You're only responsible for what God's calling you to do. Barnabas picked up the torch and said, I want to fan into flame this thing with the Apostle Paul. He was the son of, yeah, that's what the name means. Barnabas means son of encouragement. And oh man, did he encourage Paul. He was an encourager. And he even ushered him in to the apostles' presence. He came in and they're all going, doors closed, closed for the night, no one allowed. No, I've got Saul here. I've got the apostle, I've got Paul here. No, he's the killer of Christians. And Barnabas said, I'll vouch for him. He's had a conversion. Something's changed in his heart. I'll stick up for him. By the way, does that speak to any of us today? How many young people are you sticking up for? Are you vouching for? Are you advocating for? He advocated for Paul and brought him in, and we have what we have today because he took up the torch. He was a torch passer. In Paul's case, I say you, because you got to think, okay, who did you receive the torch from? Who is it that God brought into your life? And who are you sharing with? In Paul's case, he had some other believers. So he talks about Lois and Eunice. Evidently, they were on one of Paul's missionary journeys, and he led them to Christ. He led them to an understanding of Christ. And their son, Timothy, began to grow in that home where Christ was exalted, Christ was honored. And I just want to speak to grandparents and parents. Don't underestimate the value of your biological relationship. I do not think we would have the book of 2 Timothy if Lois and Eunice had rejected the gospel. I mean, God could have done anything, but he used Lois and Eunice. You catch what I mean? Don't underestimate the grandparent and parent role in sharing the love of Christ with our kids. It needs to go beyond the biological role, but it starts with the biological role. Maybe this would be a good time. Stetson, come on up here. Stetson McElhaney, give him a hand this morning. He's our brother in Christ, and I just want to ask him a couple of questions that kind of relate to this, so bear with us because we haven't
really
practiced. Is this working?
We're good.
Stetson, I'm kind of throwing this in here because of Paul's relationship with Timothy. Maybe share with the body how you came to Christ and what was your genesis into the kingdom?
That's a very good question. So my genesis, I guess, say my introduction to the kingdom of God, to the church, mainly happened through just attending my whole life and just
growing up being raised
in the church, but being continuously discipled and mentored through the whole process. So I've been in church for 25 years pretty much.
And how old are you?
25.
I was thinking you were 27. No, I'm just kidding.
Not that old yet. Not that old yet!
Oh my gosh. What's that saying, you know? Yeah, 27-year-old. No, that's good. Name it. This would be a good time.
Yeah.
Stetson, name a couple of people that through the body of Christ in Sandpoint, was it all in Sandpoint?
Sandpoint, Clark Fork, where I grew up.
Idaho, were your disciplers, people that led you to the next pass on the torch.
Yeah, so I grew up in a town right outside of Sandpoint, a little town of about 400. Right now, they have about 420 people in it. It grew
that many?
It grew to a booming population of 550 when I was there. And I grew up there, and
it's shrunk? It's actually shrunk since then?
Yeah.
Because you left?
Yeah.
All the famous people.
It's a small town. Anyways, I was continually discipled through some great families in Clark Fork that have just come to the town with their only objective is to teach about Jesus. So they're Mark and Penny Rocha, a family that literally just is in that town. They could be doing many other things. I mean, they have quite the story themselves of taking crack and reading the Bible. Wow. And just like, God turned them around and they came to Clark Fork. And all they do is pour into kids, and I was one of them. I mean, they have kids who have had kids or having kids now that are being a part of their youth programs now. So it's
a huge
generation, which has also led to the building of a youth center, which in Clark Fork, which is the biggest building in town,
yes.
Built off of just grants and love, and just a place where they got a professional basketball court and. They just serve the community, and so I got to be I just got to be influenced by them. That was huge. I mean, I look at high school. I had a great Sunday school teacher, so a small group leader who's a police officer. His name was Darren Osborne, and Darren was great. And something that was great with Darren and I's relationship was we like to go hunting, fishing, camping, but. With Darren being a police officer, he could also kind of sort through our lives, and he's really good at calling guys out. That's what he does for a living. He's a detective right now. And then our home church pastor, Tony Nelson, who works for CEA right now. Just even in but Tony was more of in my adult years through college as I transitioned from a student to a pastor and just mentoring my life and just answering questions. Tony's always been there. I've known Tony for, goodness, probably 20 years.
20 out of the 25.
Yeah.
Praise God. Yeah. Well, in with the discipling that happened through that church setting, I know you're coming to us already with a torch lit. You've already got, you know, the torch burning. But we don't want you to just be the one passing on the torch. We want you to help equip the body of Christ here. So maybe share with us a little bit about that. What's your heart? What's your vision? What's your passion for the body of Christ and our children's ministry, our teen ministry?
So I look at that, and I kind of look at the ideas of passing the torch and kind of where we see in society today. And I kind of looked at that, and I looked at what's the purpose of education. Why is there elementary schools? Mm-hmm. So we can educate our youth, right? Mm-hmm. Then why are there high schools? So we can further educate our youth. Then what happens after that? We have a collegiate system. We have a college system. No matter how expensive it is, the college system exists in this world to create the next leaders and our next professionals and develop leaders. So I look at that, and I look at that as a place in our world where the next generation is being trained.
Yeah.
It's where I was trained, and it's happening everywhere. But then I look at, what about the church? What's our role here? And I think we have a huge role, not just in focusing on the fact that, one, these kids, these teens, aren't future leaders. We want them to be future leaders, but we need to care about their faith where they are now.
Today, yeah.
As they grow, and as they grow through the school system, through where the world's going, we want to come aside them at whatever phase of life they're in. So that's why it's important for us not just to look at them as the future, but to look at them at where they are now so that we can equip them at any phase of their life. And that's important. I mean, I just want to look at this practically.
Yeah.
On average, we have 40 hours a year with each student. That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
If they're here
in this
every
church,
week or
if they're here every week. And I would even argue with teenagers, as life gets busier and busier, we have less than that because their time, more people pull for their time. But I'd say with most kids, we have 40 hours a week.
A year.
Yeah, a year.
I know what you mean.
I'm here 40 hours. Yeah, 40 hours a year. But the most critical thing about this is parents and sometimes grandparents. Grandparents are a lot of times less because they don't live with them. But parents have 3,000 hours.
Mm.
So if you're a business professional looking to invest in time, as we talk about time management and like giving time, do you want to give your time into 40? Or do you want to invest your time into 3,000? And so that's the purpose of discipleship and mentorship, is that we're not only looking at students, but we're looking at their families as a whole and helping create a family culture of discipleship to where it's not just with one student, it's with their whole family. And that's so important, is that to create families of disciple makers, because I could talk to kids all I want. You can do, we all can. And the second they go home, that influence changes, and we're trumped just about by their parents. And that's why we have to look at families. We have to look at students. We have to look at the families that they come with.
Amen.
And I look at this practically, and how do we create this culture? How do we disciple and mentor our kids? I'm talking little kids to even young adults. And I do that is we have to look at kids through the various phases of life that they're at, because no matter the age, they're always at a certain phase. And a phase has three significant factors in it that we have the ability to influence and that we need to leverage. See, every phase of a kid's life has significant relationships, present realities, and distinctive opportunities. No matter if they're just born, no matter if they're 18 years old, they have those three key factors. And that, when we look at literally passing the torch, we take them as they are, we look at their life as they are, and we influence them based on that. And so it's when I look at really what it practically looks like to pass the torch, it's not just with our kids, it's with our families as a whole, creating strong families, because I believe our world's lacking that today.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're excited about, I could not be more excited than having Stetson and Danielle with us. I just think it's a God thing, because we prayed for interns. I was praying for a summer intern. It didn't work. God didn't send us a summer intern. And all of a sudden, as soon as that door closed, God gave us a full-time youth leader. And that actually was really what we needed. And God knew that and brought you to our neck of the woods. And I just think it's a tremendous blessing for the body of Christ. So I am, you know, just really excited. So this is the body. And so I'm challenging you, family, and I'm challenging you as a passer of the torch to help us be torch passers. And this fall could be the best ever. I mean, Stetson's summer job, catch this, is to go to camp with kids, love kids during the camping season and CIY, but also to get us ready for the fall as a body team together. And I'd like to ask every adult, I don't care your age, I don't care your stage, find a place in this passion of passing on the torch. Find a place. It might be a back seat. You might not be dealing directly with kids. It might be administrative. Whatever. Find a place to pour into passing the torch. Let's give Stetson a hand. Thank you. This is kind of how it looks. person to person. Pass the light. Find a way. Look at that face. No one's too old. No one's too young. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. So who's the young believer you're being asked to take on? Who is it that God's calling you to pass the torch to? Who is it God's placing in your life, or do you need him to show you who's the next generation for you? If there's a biological loved one in your life, pour yourself into them like never before. Little kids, praise God. We love them. If you don't have someone, or if you want to extend beyond that, I'm challenging every person to say, I'm not going to stop with just the biological loved ones. I'm going to pour myself into kids. He's given us the opportunity. Let me mention a couple of things. I mentioned the camps and stuff. In late August, we're going to take a time and take a week. Well, it's actually 4 days, Monday through Thursday. We're calling it Vision Quest. It's like a vacation Bible school. We're going to focus 9 to 12 on kindergarten through fifth grade, right? Sixth grade. And there's a registration form in your handout. Try, pray about. Who is it God's calling you to help? And would you just invest 4 days, 4 days in the lives of young people? If you're working during that 9 to 12 slice, there's lots of other things that you can do to be involved, from decorating the place to administration. Lift up your hand, Debbie. See Debbie if you are interested in that, because we are serious about taking the gospel, taking the love of Christ to the next generation. If you're here today and you've not yet received Christ, I always make the appeal to you to say, love the Lord, grow in him, give your life to him, let his leadership be clear. And the things you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to reliable people, pass on the torch, who will be able to qualify, who will be qualified to teach others also. Pass the torch along. The critical part is that handoff. Don't drop the torch. And you guys, we all have that opportunity right now to let him lead us in that.